Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation with Tom Ferguson, Director of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Well, Tom, one of the main challenges in the minds of managers and leaders in both the public and private sector is the need to hire and retain high-performing employees. How does the Bureau attract and retain these type people?
Well, the Bureau has kind of two sides in this issue. In both sides, both our direct labor and their support labor. Certainly the goal of hiring the best people, training them well, allowing them to operate, giving them the resources they need is important. On our direct labor side, in the actual printing side of our business, we tend to have people come into the Bureau and stay their careers. They are jobs which are extremely specialized. We train them in a specific craft, and that craft is not necessarily used a lot outside. A good example would be portrait engraver. It's a 10-year apprenticeship. It's a person who's going to be has artistic values already, but we're going to teach to be able to engrave that image of Ben Franklin, you know, line for line with a sharp piece of steel, cutting it into a soft piece of steel. Those kind of people are going to be probably staying at the Bureau because it's the major employer of that craft. On the support area, especially in the areas of engineering, accounting, and IT, we, like everyone else, are going to have to compete, try and make our jobs more attractive, try and make our environment more attractive in order to recruit and retain the highest quality people. It's very difficult. It's a challenge in all of government. You on the private sector side sometimes have a little bit more latitude. At least we think you do. You probably think we do. But we probably are being whipsawed by the same employees back and forth. But it is a challenge. It's something that I think is going to be an area that government as a whole is going to have to look at how it's going to be competitive, and in the end, make a decision. Are we, in fact, going to be able to compete in these areas, or are we going to have to look at buying some of these services, and what is, in the end, the best for the public?
Technology is constantly changing and enabling the Bureau to do more in different ways. What new technological advances are on the horizon?
Oh, God. So many. It's incredible, the explosion in technology. In the area of pre-press, which is the design and the creation of the images, the use of computers where we used to draw them literally with pen and pencil and paint and then engrave. We like to maintain the craftsmanship of the engraving, so we still have that old-world artisanship, but marry into that the technologies of the computer so we get the best of both worlds. So there'll be a big change in that area. The speed of our equipment makes it so we can produce more with less. Our ability to examine and inspect products with computers and optics has been a major change in the ability to check all those machine characteristics of the notes. That's going to be a big area. And the information technology side, our ability to communicate with the world, it's actually a fascinating time to be in this business.
And I understand you actually use the internet to sell directly to the public. Could you tell us about that?
Sure, Paul. Yes. You can go to moneyfactory.com, and it is the Bureau's website. Part of what we do is we support the numismatic field. That's money collecting. Most people think of it as coin collecting, but it does involve currency notes also. And we sell sheets of currency. We sell sets of currency. We sell a number of different products that allow people to learn about their currency. The money that we make from that venture supports our public education campaign. It supports the public tour at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington, which is open free to the public. It's the third most popular tour in Washington. And we will be adding in the next few years a public tour at our Fort Worth, Texas facility also.
You mentioned earlier, and we talked about the Bureau printing postage stamps, and I think the move is towards electronic indicia. And I'm curious if you worry that one day you won't be printing stamps.
Well, certainly we worry about printing everything. As a manufacturer, we're always jealously guarding our products. Certainly in the world of postage stamps, we've seen some changes. Would note that in postage stamp business, unlike currency, we do compete directly with the private sector. Approximately half of United States postage stamps are printed outside by private sector firms. So the Postal Service, rightly, looks at who can provide them with the best product at the best cost. And they're out deciding that on a stamp-by-stamp basis, on a year-by-year contract basis. So we compete for that work, and we're very proud of the stamps that we do. We do see that there are moves into email, electronic funds transfers that would reduce the amount of stamps and potentially also the amount of currency. We watch that very carefully. We've seen the introduction of checks at one time, credit cards, debit cards, smart cards, e-cash, as moving in and taking their place in the currency side, currency still remaining king. And we see that also on the stamp side. So as I mentioned, one of the big changes in our business is the amount of products that are printed. And I would guess the best defense I have for our products are that, just like in the paperless office, the advent of faxes and emails actually in the end generates more paper.
How about what additional changes and challenges do you foresee in the future of the Bureau? And in particular, do you think we'll change our currency more frequently?
Two very separate questions. Second one first. Yes, we went 70 years without changing our currency, and we have predicted that we'll change it every 7 to 10 years. Whether or not that happens is going to be determined by the level of change in technology. But we can't stay static. We can't wait until there's a problem. We have to stay in front of it. It takes a number of years to design a currency. It takes a number of years after you introduce it in order to roll over the existing stocks. There are $560 billion worth of currency in circulation. It takes a number of years to get that back and replace. So you need to be several years ahead of a problem with a change. We would expect that potentially, you know, our goal now is to have the next design ready to be started to be implemented as early as 2003 if the policymakers decide that. That's not our decision. We'll have it on the shelf for when they want to introduce it as from any time after 2003. As far as the Bureau is concerned and other changes, I think that, you know, we're a very highly unionized workforce. We have 19 separate bargaining units. And our partnership with them, our relationship with them has improved over the years. I think that's going to continue to improve. I think we have to partner with our workforce. We have to partner with our customers. And we have to actually partner with the public in order to ensure this system continues to work.
How about advice for people who will one day be leaders of large organizations in government in terms of what they should be doing now and thinking about in their career?
Well, first, they shouldn't be too anxious to move into my job. I need it for a few more years. But other than that, I think that to the degree that they can focus externally as well as internally, it's sometimes easy to get too narrow in your vision. You focus on your specific position, your job, which is very good. But you need to be conscious of the environment, looking at where it's going. There are some clues always as to how things are going to be evolving. And it's the person who is kind of ready for those evolutions that is going to be recognized. It's the people who have great communication skills. Knowing something is one thing. Being able to explain it is another. So working on those, I always tell people, I tried to tell my own children, they didn't always listen, but that's the kind of things that they should be looking at, being able to communicate, being able to set the vision and explain it.
Well, thanks, Tom, for spending so much time with us this evening. I can't believe we're out of time. I've enjoyed our conversation very much.
I have also, Paul. It's been fun.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. To learn more about the endowment, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.